That'll get you riled up, huh? That was a great movie. I really encourage you to see that movie, Facing the Giants. If you have not seen that movie yet, it's basically about a high school football team, big underdogs, and they have this coach, and this coach is really fired up for God. So he just starts kind of instilling in them that God-first principle and to do things with excellence and fight like champions and just believe in God and have the favor of God. And the favor of God can take you a lot further than anything can in the natural. You know, there's a beautiful picture of the grace of God there where the coach is saying, you know, I love you and I'm proud of you. And he talks about, you know, we don't deserve to be here. You know, we didn't deserve to have a winning season. We didn't deserve to win the league championship. We don't deserve to be in this state title game. And isn't that a lot like the grace of God, that God gives us his goodness and his favor, even though we don't deserve it? Amen? And so there's a beautiful picture of this in Hebrews chapter 12 that I want to talk about today. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you can go there. And as you're going to Hebrews chapter 12, I just want to kind of plug Flex for a couple of minutes here. Guys, Flex, August 15th and 16th. Yeah, look, let me tell you my Flex commitment to you, okay? This year's Flex, I promise you this, you're not going to get beat over the head. It's not going to be, you know, come to the men's conference, you know, and get ragged for this and ragged for that. And you're not a good enough dad and you're not a good enough father and, you know, step up. And I know as men, a lot of times, you know, we like that kind of stuff. But really, this year's conference is going to center around destiny and center around your purpose as a man. And I'm really, really excited about it. So just make a note of that. And here in Hebrews, it's talking about purpose and it's talking about some things. And I want to unpack some things here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and before I read this, obviously chapter 12 is coming after, guess what? Chapter 11, you know, so, but in chapter 11, just taking this whole passage into context, in chapter 11, it really talks about these great heroes of the faith. But what it emphasizes, it's not that these men and women were great, it was that they were ordinary men and women that served a great God. And that because we serve a great God, God has greatness for our lives. You realize, man, you serve the champion of champions. You are part of greatness. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. And when we come into God, and when we accept Jesus, and when we're his adopted children, I mean, it's just part of the deal. And a lot of the Word of God is us needing to renew our minds and understand how much God loves us, that even though we've messed things up in the past and we've experienced hurt and pain and, you know, all kind of crud or whatever, man, that God has great things for us and that we are champions in him. And even though this life is, we're going to have a lot of obstacles, we're going to have a lot of discouragements, we're going to have a lot of difficulties, just like that team in Facing the Giants, man, they overcame so much opposition. And gang, can I just be honest, as I'm, you know, I'm 39 years old. I'm approaching midlife. And that's how this whole series of vacation memes came about, because I had, in fact, it was Pastor Chris at St. John's campus. Make sure this goes on the television show, too, because I'm calling him out publicly. He told me I needed a midlife win and convinced me to get up on this slalom ski. I hadn't slalomed in like 18 years. So, okay, I'm going to get to that later in the sermon. But anyway. Now, what was I talking about? I was talking about the more I'm convinced that our faith, okay, as I study the Word of God and I spend time with Jesus and I know him personally, I'm just convinced that our faith, it's an overcoming faith. In other words, while we're on this earth, it is designed, the way God has set this thing up, and he's given us Jesus, who suffered and overcame far more than we'll ever know. And he set this thing up that as we follow Jesus, and God puts that seed of faith in us, he sets this thing up where he gives us things to overcome, and by overcoming things, Our overcoming draws us closer to God. We know God in a greater way. It develops character in us that produces more Christ-likeness in us, that enables us to be more effective to reach more people during our short time on this earth. That was a lot of theology in about one breath right there. But it's an overcoming faith. In that movie, Facing with the Giants, if you watch that movie, I mean, they're such big underdogs. It's such an how they overcome to get to that place. And that's what the favor of God does. But you've got to go into this thing, in this relationship, knowing, man, God did not save us just to take it easy. God didn't save you so that you won't have any problems. God saved you so you could have eternal life with Him, so you could make a difference on this earth. He saved you so that when you face that problem, you will learn that God is greater than that problem, that God's greater than any obstacle, and He wants you to overcome that thing and be the champion that He's called you to be. And so He kind of sets this thing up in verse 12. He says, look, therefore, since we are surrounded, and He's talking about these great men and women of faith. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, the life of faith. Once again, if you're taking notes, write this down. The life of faith, it is a life of overcoming. It's overcoming your past. It's overcoming your inadequacies. It's overcoming your mistakes. It's overcoming your failures. It's overcoming your setbacks. It's overcoming your hurts. It's overcoming all these things and being the incredible person that God called you to be. And what you learn is this, that God in you is a majority. You learn that with God, truly all things are possible. That humans might put limits on you, but God takes those limits off. And that's what we talk about. We talk about the fire of God. And I preached this several months ago, that fire of God, we talk about the fire of God, and He makes His ministers a flames of fire. And Jesus says, I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The fire of God represents the supernatural power of God consuming the natural. Remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into the fiery furnace with Nebuchadnezzar, that's what Jesus got in the furnace. It was an example of the supernatural fire of God is hotter than any natural fire. And God has a fire for your life that comes from Him, and that supernatural power of God can consume every natural limitation or setback that you have. Thank you, all two of you. Okay, so what it talks about... So what it talks about here, it talks about, look, you're in a great crowd. Can I tell you this? Not only the heroes of the faith, but I think the bigger picture of what God is saying is, look, man, you're on a great team. Some of you are looking around and you're like, really? You know, you're on a great team. And the reason that you're on a great team is because of the coach, because of the owner, because of the leader of the team. God's saying, look, you're on a great team. You've got obviously I'm biased, but you're part of a great local church, Celebration Church. You're on a great team. And not only that, but you're part of a universal. So many great churches all over the world. God says, look, you're on a great team. And what He says is this, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance. So important that we add that, or that God added that word there. Let us run with endurance. Endurance means to bear up under difficulty. And when I did that Take Heart series, remember I talked about that many times we get endurance and enjoyment confused. And we think that if we have to endure something, that obviously we're not going to enjoy anything. But this is the awesome thing about our relationship with God, that even though you might have to bear up under some difficulty and or bear up under some trials, guess what? You can still enjoy your relationship with God. That's why no matter what you're going through, you can come to church. Man, we celebrate God for His goodness, not if we've been good or good or bad. God is the constant. His love is the constant. All those things, but there's going to be things that we're going to have to endure, but still God wants you to enjoy your relationship with Him every day. So He says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. I just kind of want to talk about just three landing points or three principles here in our relationship with God. First of all, knowing your purpose. knowing your purpose. The Bible's real clear here that there is a race that God has marked out for you. It's your race. It's your path. It's your course. It's different than my course. Now, there's a lot of similarities. You know, I mean, it's all about, you know, we trust in Jesus Christ and all those things. I mean, there's some similarities corporately, obviously, but you have an individual purpose. Did you know there's a scripture? I'm going to show it to you in a few minutes. Do you know that the Bible says that all of your days were marked out for you before you were even born? Did you know that every moment was laid out? Every moment of your life, God laid it out beforehand. Can I just tell you, God is smart. God's got it going on. If you try to think about, I mean, if you try to comprehend someone that is infinite and eternal, you're going to blow a fuse, man. I'm telling you. Just thinking about God, really, it's better than a lot of drugs. Because you'll get a rush just, whoa, dude, how does that happen? You know what I'm saying? But God has a race marked out for you. Now this is going to this thing that I've been seeking God about and wrestling. It was interesting. I was in this meeting with Dallas, and I was meeting with Bob Buford, and he was sharing this with me. This is a guy, a great Christian leader, wrote Halftime and several really good books. And he says, you know, Christians, there's a study that they did, and it just came out. And he says, there's a lot of Christians that after they've been in, it's like when people get saved, they come into a church and they're all excited and it's all new and they feel the forgiveness of God. You know, it's just so awesome. They said everything is just like great for about 7 years. Kind of like the marriage statistics. Talk about it. But after 7 years, they go into this thing between year 7 and between year 10. And if they don't really tap into their gift niche or really find their purpose, this is what God's like, the race marked out. If they don't really get in and find their purpose, and I'm not just talking about serving in the church. Now, that is a foundation. You've just got to serve in the house of God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Courts speak of design. Courts speak of purpose. You got to serve here and you plant yourself in a local church. And as that becomes the foundation, all of a sudden your life calling, what you do. Well, God's called me to make money. I mean, that's a great thing. We obviously need that gift here. Okay. That's great. But what about beyond that? What does he want you to do with that money? Besides give a whole bunch of it to Celebration Church. What does he want you to do with that money? What the gifts and the talents that you have as you kind of go through life, what is that defined purpose for you? And I encourage you to seek God for that. And there's going to be some things and some new things this fall that we're laying out. We're going to actually try to start a ministry where there's like a release pastor in a minute where we help people and meet with you one-on-one to really help you find your purpose, who God's called you to be, and what God has called you to do. Is anybody tracking with me on that? But there's a real, after 7 and 10, that's when a lot of people, you know, they might leave the church or do this or do that or just kind of, they kind of go wandering. And what it really comes down to is people finding their purpose and knowing that they're on that race that God has marked out for their lives. So it's about knowing your purpose. So, so important. But look at this. It talks about, okay, there's a race for you. It's marked out. You need to begin to know your purpose, but look, and lay aside the things that would hinder that, the sins that would hinder that, the entanglements that would hinder that. But look what it says. We do this by. Okay, in other words, God's about to set something up here that if you don't do this, you're not going to be able to do number one. You're not going to be able to know your purpose. You're definitely not going to be able to set aside those sins and weights that are keeping you from that purpose. In other words, there's something that you have to do, something that you have to have so that you can do that. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Now watch. Now it's going to define this a little bit. Well, you know, I used to hear that all the time. You hear that all the time. You know, keep your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus. What does that mean? You know, mean, what does that mean? To imagine Jesus and, you know, what fix your eyes on Jesus. That's one of those kind of spiritual terms that we talk about. I mean, it sounds nice. You know, Christianity, it has a lot of things that sound nice. And then when you kind of really dissect them, they don't really mean much. I'm not talking about from God's words. I'm just talking about slogans. You know, I used to hear things like, well, God wants quality, not quantity. God, it sounds kind of cool. Then I think about it, I was like, well, I mean, Jesus, the Bible says that God desires everyone to come to repentance. Why can't he have both? Hey! You know, God wants you to be holy and not happy. Yeah! Then you kind of think about that. Well, I mean, doesn't the Bible say that we're to serve the Lord with gladness and that wherever the kingdom of God is, there's righteousness, so there's holiness, peace and joy? How about we have both? Okay, so that's my soapbox for this morning. But anyway, it says we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And now it reminds us, the champion, he's a champion, man. We have the greatest leader in the world. He is the champion. He initiates and perfects our faith. He started your life. Jesus created you. He started your faith, and he's going to finish that faith. In other words, Jesus is the author. Jesus is the one that wrote the story about your life. Jesus is watching over you 24/7. Jesus knows how many hairs you have on your head or how many hairs some of you used to have on your head. Jesus knows. In other words, he's the champion. He's watching us. He cares for us. And it goes on to say, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. I want you to think the cross is any difficulty, any pain, anything, any giant that you're facing, anything that you have to overcome. The Bible talks about that if we're to be disciples of Christ, that we're going to have to desire to come after Jesus. And then we're going to have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ. Part of discipleship, three components that are always there: desire, denial, and drive. And the Bible says that we will have a cross. That means that, in other words, we're all going to face difficulties. We're all going to face challenges. We're all going to have things in this life, gang, that we're not going to enjoy. We're going to have to endure for a season. But guess what? The whole time we can still enjoy our relationship with God. Boom. But there's going to be difficult. I don't care what the TV preacher tells you. Like, there's going to be pain in this life. That's right out of the Bible. I guess I'm a TV preacher too now, so maybe I need to chill out on that. Okay. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor besides God's throne. He goes on to say, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So what does fix our eyes on Jesus mean? It means look at Jesus and the sacrifice. He's the champion. He loves you. Started your life. He's going to finish your life. Look at what he went through for you and look at how he did it. So this thing, the knowing our purpose, secondly, focusing on God's love for you. This is huge. Focus on God's love for you, not your love for God. You will love God more by accident, by focusing on how much he loves you. That's what fixing your eyes on Jesus means. I'm defining, fix your eyes on Jesus. It means focus on how much God loves you. He's got a purpose for you. He went to the cross for you. He endured all that pain for you. And the joy that was awaiting him was that relationship with you. God's saying this, the only way that you're going to have the power to endure the race and be everything God has called you to be. I'm not talking about halfway. I'm not talking about, you know, a little here and a little there. Man, I'm talking about thriving. In your relationship with God, God says, look, you're going to have to focus on how much God loves you, and that's going to give you the grace to lay aside the sin, to lay aside the weight, to have the endurance, the denial, and the drive to pursue God and be the champion that he's called you to be, because Jesus is the ultimate champion, and we're on a championship team. You know, if you think about this, this is why, remember when they said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. How many of y'all have done that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Oh, and he threw this one in. And all your mind. How many of you have loved God with all your mind 24/7? How many of you have really loved your neighbor as yourself? You hate your neighbor. You're praying that he moves. You're sicking your dog on it. You know, I'm the only kid. Do you see what I'm saying? Every time someone exhorts me, every time I've heard, I used to hear, how many of you love God with all your heart? Every time I hear that, I feel condemned. Can I just be honest? Because a lot of times I don't feel, I'm not talking about nothing major. I just don't feel like all the time that I'm loving God with all of my heart. Can anybody relate to me out there? So in other words, when Jesus was saying that, when he was giving that greatest commandment, gang, do you understand that straight from Deuteronomy chapter 6? That is the law. That's why God said in the new covenant, I'm going to take out a heart of stone and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. In other words, it's only through the grace of God that we can love God and obey him. That's why the Bible says that we love him. In other words, the reason that we can love him, we love him because he first loved us. And the way that we thrive in our relationship with God is we spend time trying to understand. This is the key, man. We spend time trying to get a hold of just a little bit of how much God loves us. That's why the Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? And it goes through all these things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's why Paul, when he prayed for the church, he said, I pray that you could just, in just a small way, begin to understand a little bit of the height and the depth and the breadth and just how incredible and great the love of God is. It's all about understanding the love of God, how much Jesus loves you, and focusing on his love for you, not necessarily your love for him. I used to get so trying to like, okay, I got to love God more and I got to do this more and all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, that doesn't work. You know what works? What works is focusing and fixing your eyes on Jesus and how much he loves you. And that's how the grace of God is released in your life. And you appreciate that. And you're thankful for that. That's why the Bible talks about that we're to come to the Lord with thanksgiving. Why? When we thank God, all of a sudden we start to focus on God and not ourselves. That's why when we come into praise and worship, well, those songs are directed to God, that God's the only one. He's the one that we're, all those kind of things. And that enacts the grace of God that all of a sudden begins to transform us. Is anybody tracking with me? Focus on God's love for you, not your love for God. You'll love God more on accident than you will on purpose. And I think that there is a lack of this in the body of Christ. And you know, yes, Celebration Church, we're a high commitment church. I mean, man, we preach a consecrated life. We preach obedience to God. But can I tell you, gang, it's just if you don't have this foundation of the love of God and understand that you're going to have to end this, if you're going to fulfill God's purpose, the race that he has marked out for you, if you're really going to lay aside those things that are holding you back, the only way that you're going to have the grace, the tenacity to do that, endure what you have to endure, overcome, having that pursuit of God, the only way that you're going to be able to do that is to really focus on how much God loves you. That's what it means to fix your eyes on Jesus. And until you fix your eyes on Jesus, you cannot lay aside those things that hinder you. We love him because he first loved us. Look at these scriptures. You want to be encouraged today before we go? All right, two of you. It's the same two. Okay. Watch this. Psalm 130. Let me just read you a couple of psalms. Everybody say psalm. Everybody say psalm. That's if I pastored in Boston. Psalm 130. But I'm a Cajun. Psalm 130. Watch this. Man, this is good stuff. This is the kind of stuff we need to be thinking on. Psalm 130. Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. Did you see that? So, is the key to fearing God, is it saying, I'm going to fear God, I'm going to fear God, I'm going to fear God? Or is the key to fearing God appreciating His goodness, His forgiveness, and His mercy? If we fix our eyes on Jesus and His mercy, all of a sudden we learn to fear God. Look at this, Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Remember, it talks about there's a race marked out for you. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Wow. I'm telling you, whatever you're going through or whatever you've been through, it does not catch God by surprise. I'm telling you, He saw the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. If we will learn to trust God, that He loves us no matter what, that our days are marked out, that our lives were laid out before Him. Look at verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I'll tell you this. I bet you there's a number out there that's pretty high. Like a gazillion to the infinity power of something. Do you know what the Bible says? God's good thoughts, His precious thoughts about you are more than the highest number that we could ever count. I can't even, look what he says. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. I was on the beach all week and just that little section under our umbrella, there had to be millions and billions of little grains of sand. God's thoughts about you that are precious and good are more than every grain on every grain of sand on every beach. Some of you are like, yeah. Dude, that'll fry a circuit, huh? God's infinite. We serve a good God. He spoke the worlds into existence. He created us just from dust, man. The Bible says He blew the breath of life into the dust of the earth, and man became a living soul. God's not out there and just kind of letting the earth, you know, just kind of mankind go His way, and every now and then He kind of comes down and says, hey, what's going on? What have you messed up now? Okay, what have you done? Let me see if I can salvage this. Man, God doesn't want to salvage your life, man. He saved you with a purpose, man. You're a champion. You're on a championship team. Man, I got a lot of these. How about this? Some of you that are depressed, watch this. Come quickly, Lord. This is Psalm 133, verse 7. I'm going to get to verse 8. It says, come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Look, aren't you glad? Did you know King David, this brother was depressed all the time. This brother needed therapy. But the good thing about his therapy, he got it from God, so he got healed and cured. Some of you are your own worst counselor. That's a whole nother message. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Look at verse 8. Let me hear of how much I love you. No. Let me hear of my commitment to you. Let me hear I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart. So, no, it says, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting in you. The way that we trust God is to focus on how much He loves us and remind ourselves of His unfailing love each and every morning, which leads me to this. about this daily devotion and spending time with God. We need to spend personal time with God to know Him and receive from Him. Amen. Knowing your purpose, focusing on God's love, and really one of the key ways to do that, coming to church is part of that and being involved, but I'm telling you, if you want to go to the next level, it's spending personal time with God to know Him and to receive from Him. In other words, I didn't say spend personal time with God where you come in and you bring Him your request list. Where you bring God His to-do list. Look, some of you, I'm saying this with obviously qualifications and all this. Some of you, you need to throw away your prayer list for a while. You need to stop going to God with a to-do list and a request list and a I need this list. And you need to go to God with His word and a worship CD. And you say, Lord, I'm just focusing on Your unfailing love. God, I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. Lord, I'm so grateful for Your goodness in my life. And you begin to read about how much God loves you and about how much He's for you and that you have a purpose. And you pray that and you pray to get to know Him where you know God personally. Like, I know my wife. I'm intimate with my wife. I know my wife personally in a spiritual way. This so you can know God personally. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. You know, God wants you to know His voice. God wants you to experience. He wants you to feel His presence. If you haven't felt the presence of God, I'm telling you, you are missing out. I believe being able to feel and experience the presence of God, it is one of the greatest blessings God has left us on this earth while we're still here. Thank God for the presence of God, man. I'm telling you, I would be a basket case if I had to do this thing without feelings. I love saying that. It just digs in the religious spirit. Well, we walk by faith, not by feelings. I didn't say we walked by feelings. Of course we walk by faith. Of course we're not led by our feelings. Of course the Word of God is our foundation. But can I tell you that God wants you, God's not just to be learned about, He's to be experienced, and He wants you to feel His presence, man. Spending time with God to know Him and to receive from Him, that personal communion time with the Lord. If we do these things, that's how we're going to have that energy. As it goes on to finish here, and it talks about, look, you're going to go through this race with endurance, but there's going to be a joy, there's going to be a hope. Look, but you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. I'm kind of paraphrasing Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, how he winds it up. He says, but you need to fix your eyes on Jesus so that you don't grow weary and give up. Life's full of opposition. It's full of challenges. It's full of difficulties. But our life of faith, gang, it's an overcoming faith. We're part of a championship team, and we serve a champion. Know your purpose. Focus on God's love for you. And spend time personally with God to know Him and receive from Him.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.